Hi, and welcome to Catastrophic Comeback. This particular series within Catastrophic Comeback is devoted to people that might have legal ways to recover from catastrophic events. The Catastrophic series as a whole is designed to help anybody who's had a life-changing event in their lives, a life-changing injury, loss of a loved one, a diagnosis, something terrible, whether you have legal recourse or not. This particular series is devoted to those who do have legal recourse or may have legal recourse. And so we want those people to have an idea of what to do going forward. And so, for example, when my kids were little, they used to love to ride roller coasters, you know, and I hate riding roller coasters. And so, but what I found that is that when I, it was intimidating for me. So what I found that if I was in line and I could look it up on my phone and see like a point of view, video of roller coasters and how, and what to expect, then it took away some of the fear, some of the anxiety, and it made it easier for me to you know, participate and enjoy myself. And so I'm hoping that by us talking to you and showing you what to expect in a litigation process, in a to engage in a legal recovery, in a financial recovery, in a legal battle to recover damages, that it'll take away some of the fear, take away some of the anxiety, and put you in a better position to make good decisions for yourself and your family, and then lead to a comprehensive recovery so that you can make a full and complete, you know, physical, financial, and emotional recovery. And that's the purpose of this particular series. So welcome. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Catastrophic Comeback Podcast with American injury lawyer Clark Speaks, helping you find hope, purpose, and joy after a catastrophic injury.
Welcome back to Catastrophic Comeback. Jeff, I'd like to talk to you now a little bit about, okay, a person has made a decision. They've suffered a catastrophic accident. They think there may be some type of recovery available to them through workers' comp or through liability. And they're trying to, now they understand from the last segment that they need to call somebody. The next question is, who do they call, right? And we're not saying call us necessarily. We're just saying, generally, what are the types of things that they need to consider? Like, I'm thinking about it. If I'm a person in that situation and I'm trying to decide, I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? I'm going to make a decision based on billboards? I'm going to make a like this thing? I'm going to make a decision based on, you know, TV commercials, radio? Like, how am I supposed to decide who's good and who's not? Who knows what they're doing? Who can help me? So let's talk about for a few minutes about qualifications. Can you tell me about, you know, you do these kinds of cases, you know, you do these kinds of cases. You're committed to helping people who have been through these situations. And just in our firm, for example, we have a specific division of our firm that is devoted to nothing but exceptional cases, catastrophic cases. And you lead that division. And so can you talk to me about your qualifications? I mean, I know you as a modest person, I would just like for you to tell, like, what in your background, what in your history has led you to a place where you feel like you can help people that are in these types of situations?
So I, you know, when I got out of college, I worked as a senior claims adjuster for an insurance company, a major insurance company, for several years. Handled claims, adjusted claims, property damage, injury, catastrophic injuries. So I dealt with it from the insurance side of negotiating the claims and investigating. That also gave me an understanding of insurance policies and what these policies will and won't cover and what the exceptions are and how to, you know, how to read them and know, you know, that this coverage would apply when someone else would know that coverage would apply. You know, after that, going to different schooling that I went to, you know, law school, I came out of there and did insurance defense work, which was natural for me because I'd been a claims adjuster.
What do you mean insurance defense work?
So insurance defense work, I was basically representing the insurance companies. When someone had a claim, Someone had a case, and they were trying to get paid by the insurance companies. I was defending the insurance companies. I was the one litigating those cases and taking those depositions, investigating, looking at the policy, and trying to get that person paid, you know, competently, but as little as possible. Try to minimize the value of these cases as much as I could. That was my job, to represent the insurance companies. I didn't like that job very much.
How long did you do that?
So claims adjuster and insurance defense together was about 4.5 years between the two of those.
Okay.
I didn't stay doing that a long time because I didn't really enjoy doing that. I didn't like sort of fighting people that were injured. I'd rather represent the people that were injured. And so I switched over after that and started doing plaintiff's work where I'm representing injured people and trying to help them recover against the insurance company. The very people that I work for, the very policies that I was interpreting, now I'm going against those people. And it helps because I know the game plan. I know what they're trying to do, what they're trying to accomplish.
So I had a similar experience. I worked for law school. I worked for, it was the kind of job that everybody wanted, right? I mean, it was like everybody wanted, it was in litigation. Background, we went to a school that was very litigation focused. Like that was, that, you know, some schools, I'm sure it's like, who your parents are or who your, your pedigree or what. Ours was like very litigation focused. If you could try cases and you had trial skills, then you were cool. That was the thing, you know. And so the litigation focus was heavy, and that's probably why you went there, and it's probably why I went there as well. But the school that we went to was very litigation focused, and in fact, some of the best trial lawyers in North Carolina came right out of that trial advocacy program. You know, I mean, some phenomenal criminal trial lawyers, medical malpractice lawyers and defense lawyers. Just phenomenal people, many of whom were in, you and I were in school at the same time, 100 years ago, or whenever it was. But yeah, I had a very similar experience. I worked for an insurance defense firm that everybody probably would have wanted to work for, and I did it for a short period of time, and I was like, I hate this. This is not me. I can't do this, you know, because it was just a lack of compassion and the lack of, those guys are still my friends to this day, so I'm not really trying to condemn them. It's just there are people who are naturally on one side or the other, and I think you and I are naturally on the side of injured people as opposed to the corporations or whatever.
Yeah, when I think about our exceptional case team and our litigation team, if I'm correct, every one of those lawyers at one point or another did some insurance defense work.
I think that's where you learn those fundamental skills, right?
Right, and you understand how insurance companies work, what they're trying to do, how they try to minimize cases, what the policies mean and say,
where they're coming from, what their next move is. It's almost like if you're coaching football and you have been a defensive coordinator and now you're moving over to be an offensive coordinator. That being a defensive coordinator first probably gives you an advantage into knowing how defenses are set up and operate and personnel and all that kind of structure and all that. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's almost like you move from one team to another, and now you're playing your old team.
Right.
And you know all their plays.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So, what other qualifications past that?
Well, I've been doing plaintiff's work for representing injured people for 24 years now, something like that. In that time, I've handled all kinds of cases. Most of the lawyers in our firm are very experienced. They've been doing it for a long, long time. They have tried cases. They've taken cases in front of judges and juries multiple times. They've battled every insurance company. They know most of the adjusters by name. Most of the defense lawyers by name, and they know us. And so that experience over all that time gives us a real advantage over somebody that sort of thinks they can handle a personal injury case or a catastrophic case, but they've never done it before.
So is it fair to say, like, so most people, I think, if somebody was in a fender bender on Main Street in North Carolina and they were hit in the back. And a lot of lawyers probably could help them with that claim. Is that fair?
Probably could, yeah.
They're going to get their medical records. They're going to get their medical bills. They're going to put together some kind of package. You know, I don't know if they're going to know how to about liens and what they should be looking for in terms of a case. I don't know if they're going to be respected by the insurance company enough to be able to get full value, because if they know that they are not capable of trying that case, I don't see how they'd ever pay full value.
That's a factor.
But they could get it resolved. Maybe not for full value, but they could get it resolved. How important is experience, reputation, qualifications in a catastrophic situation?
I mean, it's critical. You know, the so when I worked for the insurance companies, I knew which lawyers would and would not file a lawsuit. There were some lawyers that they were always going to settle the case, and I knew they were going to settle it, and they weren't going to file a lawsuit. So I didn't offer them as much money because I wasn't worried about them filing a lawsuit. There were other lawyers that would file a lawsuit, but they would never take it to a jury and actually try the case to conclusion. They would just file a lawsuit and huff and puff and maybe take some depositions and different things, but not actually take the case through to an actual jury trial. So it's sort of like somebody pulling a gun on you, but there's no bullets. You know, at first you might be a little worried, but then you're like, once you realize there's no bullets, there's no threat there. And so you're not going to give, they're not going to get the maximum value, and they're not going to know the procedures to do in a catastrophic case, which is very different than a regular case.
So I can understand that. In fact, I remember thinking at some point in my career, you know, because when I got out of school, I started a practice, right? And you know, just me and you know, my mom would come down and help with some different stuff sometimes, but it was just me. And so we would but I also had this chip on my shoulder because of that, right? I was always thinking, you know, these guys don't respect me. But I knew that I wanted to try cases, and so I tried cases early and often in my career, and so that led me to a position where almost all of my cases were trials, right? Like, in other words, I wouldn't get very many cases usually because I didn't have a marketing system or program or content, and so what would happen is I would get a case. And I would go send it to the insurance company. I would be like, this case is worth, you know, a bunch of money. And they'd be like, no, it's not. You haven't proved anything to us. And I'd be like, all right, well, I'll show you. And then off we'd go to start down the litigation process, you know. And so at that point, I noticed that there were a couple of different kinds of lawyers. There were lawyers that were never going to try a case, and they never pretended like they were going to try a case. They're going to settle every case. And there's other lawyers who are like, we're gonna, you know, we're gonna come in loaded for bear, right? And then they still wouldn't ever try a case. And then there were other lawyers who were like, we're trying this case unless you convince us not to, right? And that's always the kind of lawyer that I wanted to be, is like, we're going to try this case, and we're gonna get what the full value of this case in front of a jury, unless you give us the money that we're gonna get otherwise and save us the trouble. And so I think that mentality is important. And so in terms of how important is it that a firm has been there before, right? In other words, how important is it if you're looking for a multi-million dollar recovery? Well, let's talk about multi-million dollar recoveries for a minute. When I hear that and I hear this firm got this much money or that much money, and it's like a multi-million dollar thing, you know, is that relevant to the analysis or is it not? Is that firm just bragging and just telling everybody how much, why is that relevant?
Well, I mean, you want somebody that's done it before, somebody that's accomplished those things before, right? You know, it's like in a basketball tournament, you know, in the NBA, a team that's been to the finals before and maybe lost knows how to get back to the finals, and they know why they lost, and they won't make that mistake again. Now they do it right, and then they can do it right again. They can do it right again because they've been there, they've done that, they've experienced those things. And you know, the hope is, you know, we talked about lawyers that litigate and don't litigate. The hope is that, you know, if you litigate enough cases and you show them you're willing to do that and you can come out with successful, you know, verdicts like that, then they won't want to try the case against you. And they'll want to give you full value in settlement so that you don't have to file a lawsuit or you don't have to take it all the way to a jury trial because they know that you're serious and you know what you're doing. So that actually sometimes can help clients stay out of lawsuits and litigation because you've already got that pedigree, you've already got that experience, and the insurance companies know that.
So I liken it to this. I remember when my kids were growing up and I had them, you know, take self-defense classes, martial arts, and that kind of stuff. Not forever, but enough to where I felt like that, you know. And so the reason that I wanted them to learn how to fight was that so they would never have to fight, right?
Exactly.
So that the bully, when the bully's going walking through the lunchroom, he sees my guys and he goes, "All right, I'm gonna go to the next table," you know, because this is not somebody I want to, you know, try to get in this situation with. And that's, I think it's the same thing here, right?
Exactly.
If we can demonstrate to them, and we have a history and a reputation of being able to do these things, you know, let me ask you this. It's because it's more than that, in my opinion. There's part of it is the willingness to go to trial and the ability to go to trial. And those are skills that you develop over a very long period of time. Those are not skills that you can read about in a book. Those are skills that have to be, you know, you have to learn them in school. You have to develop them in smaller cases, bigger cases, bigger cases, bigger cases. And then it is no easy business asking a jury for a whole lot of money under, and especially in, you know, conservative counties in North Carolina. It is no easy business. In addition to that willingness and that commitment, you know, there are other things. And we'll talk about some of those more. But building a case is different now for us than it might have been 20 years ago, right? Like, I mean, the steps that we go through to build a case now are so much more involved and so much more intricate and so much more strategic and calculated than they ever were, you know, before. I just can't imagine how anybody that didn't, like, for example, if it's a real estate lawyer who's helping your case or a guy who does different things or even a guy who has a big law firm that does, you know, just hundreds of car wreck cases. I just don't see how they could do the things that needed to be done. I don't see how they're structured in a way that can do the things that they need to be done to build these kinds of cases. Quickly, without going into too much detail, what are some of those things that have to be done in order to build a million, multi-million dollar case?
Well, you've got to have the right medical management, make sure people are getting, you know, the treatment that they need, that their doctors recommend, and then you've got, you know, you've got to use certain experts to build value, and it's not making things up, it's documenting things that are there that are difficult to document. What are the actual economic losses of somebody? It's not just their paycheck. You know, it's the fact that they can't do the things around their house anymore and they have to hire somebody. And, you know, different, we talked about accident reconstructionists. There's all kinds of experts. You know, if you haven't done catastrophic cases before and regularly, you will not know the procedure to maximize and build those cases properly. And, you know, you won't have been through it to learn where the mistakes are and to fix them and not do them again. So all of that's critical. And, you know, one other piece we didn't talk about is if you've got, you know, a catastrophic case, you're going to get a different lawyer on the other side. You're not going to get the young defense associate. You're going to get the top of the firm litigator who is a fantastic lawyer. And if you don't have a fantastic lawyer on your side, you're going to be in trouble.
So that's a great point. Let's come back to that. Let's take a break and we'll come back to that in just a few minutes.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.